Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
We need to look up who Rhode Island transfer Jacob Toppin is. T-O-P-P-I-N. Is that Obi Toppin?
It's his brother.
Is that his brother?
Yes, it's his brother.
Mitch, what kind of stats are we seeing? What kind of stats are we seeing there?
And James Strebel.
5.1 points per game, 3.9 rebounds, 6'7", 185.
Go ahead and do it, Mitch. Go ahead. You know what you got to do.
No.
Crush him.
Strebel. I mean, what is Cal Kentucky doing here?
What, was he a guard? Is he a
no, he's a four. He's a big.
He's a big.
6'7", 185, averaged 5 points and four rebounds.
No.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I like Jackie Grossman doesn't mind going into the hot tub time machine and getting some old ones.
Yeah, dip it into the archives.
I mean, that's back when Jacob Toppin.
That was during
just
quarantine.
Committed. That was during quarantine. That was probably over a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about.
Good job, Jack.
There you go, Jack. Look, you got a good job from Strebel. There you go.
Now my day is complete.
Yeah, your day is complete. You're exactly right. Hey, reminder, Lou City back in action on Saturday. Lynn Family Stadium finally goes to full capacity, and they host Memphis. 7:15 pregame, 7:30 kickoff there with Jeff Greer and Casey Whitfield, and it's an all station. 680, 105.7, 93.9 The Ville. Got you covered as the boys in purple are back, and they're back in action on Saturday. And then they have a quick turnaround, their first Wednesday match. How about that?
There we go. All right, going to do some weekday matches, and it'll be a big to-do on Saturday at Lynn Family Stadium.
What are you guys doing this weekend? You going? You want to go?
Remember Diener said that's like the one day he couldn't get tickets for the
fans. That's what Diener said.
That is what Diener said.
That's not what I said.
Okay.
That's what Diener said.
If they're available, we don't have anything going on.
Well, no, just you, not the whole
family.
Oh,
just me?
Yeah,
oh,
no one wants to hang out with the whole family.
Okay, well, I can
go.
I don't have anything going on.
There
Sunday
it is.
We have another pool
See,
party.
So you,
other than that.
You just threw your family under the bus. Another one.
Another one on Sunday, yes.
Is this going to be swanky or is this going to be more?
I haven't been over there yet, so we'll see.
Is it in the knobs?
I don't know. I don't. I just got the notification.
You just got the invite.
Yeah, just got the invite. So I'm not
Look
sure.
Look at you, a little pool party on Sunday.
Yeah, so I'm excited. It's supposed to be nice this weekend too.
Is
not
it
like this?
Oh, yuck. Is it raining out right now?
Yeah, it's raining.
Oh,
it's raining all
it's
night.
It's just gross.
It is gross.
Stuart Mandel going to join us here in just a minute. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. I still want to get to a wheel of content today at some point. You have a thought on Keon Brooks that I want to get to. And then there is a UofL football story that I want to get to at some point today. I have a feeling you know what I'm talking about. Yes,
something percolating
under the surface.
Yes,
that we may get to as well. Well, let's talk to Stuart Mandel, some college football here on this Tuesday. He's the editor in chief over at The Athletic. We like them, all the college football stuff there. Also, the co-host of the Audible podcast, Stuart. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I am good, and we are good. We're hanging out here, you know. Summer radio is a lot of fun, getting ready for the seasons and a bunch of nonsense in between. You and Andy Staples wrote about this a couple weeks ago, a couple different articles and think pieces over the last few days. One reason why I reached out to you. I'm interested, obviously, here, the college football playoff expanding. If the teams were better, it would be much more of a story here, Stuart, but the teams are some sort of a rebuilding mode. What do you make of this story, and why do you think we're starting to hear more about it now?
Well, I mean, the big development or the big thing that kind of opened everybody's eyes was when the playoff itself put out a press release voluntarily in late April after their meetings, specifically stating we have a subgroup that's been working on this. And just putting flat out there, we're looking at all variations, 8, 10, 12, 16. That was a pretty strong signal that this has moved up in urgency quite a bit. And now we've got two sets of meetings going up later this month, one with the commissioners, one with the commissioners then to the presidents. And by all indications, like, we're going to get some sort of – we may not get the final answer, but there's going to be a recommendation or a set of recommendations that the commissioners make to the presidents seeking their approval. And I think now it's a question of, you know, expansion is happening. How big is the field going to be? And is it going to be sooner than 2026 when the contract is up? And I'm personally of the belief that you don't go through all this, you don't go public with it, only to turn around and say, we're going to stick with this for another 5 years. Yeah. So I think it'll expand in 2023, 2 years from now. And now we just have to see what the model is they all agree on.
What is your best theory, I guess, on the timing? You mentioned that this is now something that's been, you know, hurried along, whatever phrase you used. The money has always been there, right? I mean, to expand the college football playoff, to play more games, have more fans excited, is more money. That's why I would imagine they're doing it, but that's always been there. Is this a new guard instead of the old guard? What has kind of got this moving? Because for so long, Stuart, you know this, we talked about going to the end of that contract in 2026, and I agree with you. They're not making all this public and they're going to sit on it for the next 5 years. Why do you think, a fire has been lit that we need to get this thing figured out?
Well, one of the things that you brought up and is absolutely true is look around the room, look around who the commissioners are now. No more Jim Delaney at the Big Ten. No more John Swofford at the ACC. Larry Scott's tenure is about to end at the Pac-12. You know, basically it's Greg Sankey and Bob Bowlesby and a bunch of relative newcomers. So it's really been a changing of the guard. And that is particularly notable in that I don't sense that there's not a lot of traditionalists left on that group that feel like, well, we can't do this because this is the way it's always been done, especially in regards to the bowl games. You know, decades and decades, college football's leaders have gone out of their way to protect the tradition of the Rose Bowl and the other bowl games. And after these past several years of players opting out and last year full teams opting out, you know, you can just kind of tell that that's not a big priority for them anymore. But also, I mean, I really do think the number one thing that's moved this up in urgency is who could have predicted that we'd have this small, finite group of teams, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, that would just dominate this thing year after year after year.
Every year.
And
yeah,
it's made it so that large parts of the country, and I'm out here on the West Coast, and this is certainly the best example, but I would also say, you know, in many years, the Big Ten outside of Columbus and others just don't feel like they're part of the same sport, because the whole focus of the sport, certainly of the media, of those ESPN shows, is who's going to be in the Final Four. And when you're the Pac-12 and you know in October you're not going to be one of them, you feel like you're not, you know, what's left to play for this season. So that's why I say I don't see them waiting another 5 years, because if it continues it this way, the damage that could be done for another 5 years of this in terms of affecting interest in the sport would be significant. I think that if you know in 2 years, you know, two more years of this, and then you're going to have a system where every Power 5 team in the country knows when they kick off the season that they win their conference, they're going to go to the playoff, is, you know, going to be very energizing.
I would agree. And then I would imagine where you are on the West Coast, I mean, the Pac-12, that's been the number one narrative with them. I would imagine it would help them try to get somebody in as much as anyone in the country.
Oh, it's been, it's truly incredible how this drought of 5 years has affected that conference. And it's become a self-fulfilling thing now where they're losing, Bryce Young, is from Southern California. DJ at Clemson is from Southern California. Spencer Rattler is from Arizona. Like, they're losing the top players on the West Coast who are going elsewhere because they feel like they have to go to the Clemsons and Oklahomas to make the playoff. And so it's been very stigmatizing for them. And I think that's why among the many frustrations Pac-12 fans had at Larry Scott was that right up until last year, he was still, we're fine with four. We're good with four. And if you notice, the new Pac-12 commissioner, George Kliakoff, at his introductory press conference, it took him maybe 2 minutes into his remarks to make sure to let everybody know he wants playoff expansion.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting story. Stuart Mandel with us from The Athletic. It's ESPN 680, 105.7. When you mention traditionalist and you mention, because the big story for me out of all of this is truly how college football is willing to fundamentally change everything they've talked about. Well, you can't have a college football playoff or you can't have an expansion of that because it devalues the regular season. And then you would go through the checklist, and when you see new leaders come in, sometimes it's hard to say if they're doing things better or worse, right? It's just different. But do you think the traditionalist attitude, do you think it helped or hurt college football? College football is super, super successful, but I know around here it does feel like most of the time Kentucky, Louisville, and Indiana are playing a completely different sport than Alabama, Clemson, and others.
Yeah, and we knew, the people, Jim Delaney comes to mind, the people who opposed even a 14 playoff for as long as they did feared exactly this, right? As soon as you know, because the BCS championship game was itself a bowl game. You know, your goal was to go to the best possible bowl game, and for two teams lucky enough to do it, the BCS championship game would be their bowl game. As soon as you go to a bracket where making your bowl game is just the first step, they knew that would have a trickle-down effect. I don't think they realized just how drastic it would be and how quick that would come where, I think of Ohio State, Washington in the Rose Bowl a few years ago. That's a traditional, Rose Bowl matchup that their fans I would be very excited about, but Ohio State, that was like a down year for them. Well, we didn't make the playoff this year, so we'll just go play a Pac-12 team in Pasadena. And certainly we've seen other examples of that as well. I don't know if, to be honest with you, I don't know if what we're talking about here is better for the Kentuckys and Indianas. It's definitely better for LSU, Georgia, like the next ones down that are good enough to make it more often than they do now.
Texas A&M,
If you're Kentucky and you're Indiana, maybe once every 20 years you'll break out and have that dream season and have a shot at the national championship. But as you know, right now, if Kentucky goes 9-3 and goes to the Outback Bowl, that's a really good season, and their fans love that. And I just think once we go to a bigger playoff, none of that matters. That's the NIT,
Right.
The Outback Bowl, which is January, that's the NIT. And so we'll see. There's always unintended consequences. And while there's a lot of reasons to be excited about the benefits of a bigger bracket, I'm guessing there will be some negative things as well that you don't necessarily see coming.
Stuart Mandel with us. What do you think? We're talking about 12 teams. You guys have obviously had the conversation there at The Athletic. What do you make up 12 teams? It doesn't seem to be a small league. We're going 4-12, and I thought we'd go 4-6 or 4-8. I thought college football would be kind of half pregnant, where they would continue to try to be that way, but that doesn't seem like it's going to be the case.
Well, it may still happen. I think that what you're basically seeing is these things are always a negotiation. And all of the Power Five conferences have to agree on something. If you're basically anybody but the SEC, you have no incentive to agree to something that doesn't have guaranteed bids. Why would you want to subject yourself to even more of these, like we talked about with the Pac-12? If it's going to go bigger, then I want an automatic spot at the table. But if you're the SEC, you're like, we're going to get three teams into an 18 playoff anyway. Why would we restrict it? Why would we put conference automatic bids in? We want it to be the eight best teams. So you think about it that way, it's like, well, you may end up at 10 or 12 just as a compromise between the two, where the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the ACC get what they want and the SEC gets what they want. I don't think the SEC is interested because they dominate the event as it is. So there's not any great urgency for them to make it bigger, but they will agree to make it bigger if they also know that they can send three, four teams in a given year to the thing, kind of like the way they do in college baseball.
Do you think that? Do you think the automatic bids for the Power Five, and then we can get to the group of five or the group of six? Which one is in basketball and football? Just get them mixed up. Do you think that automatic bid is going to be one of the biggest fights they have?
Yeah, I don't sense much support collectively for anything that doesn't have automatic bids because, you know, just as I talked about before, the stigma that has come with being the one left out has been really damaging. And I don't know that anybody's going to voluntarily sign up for another 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, whatever of that. But again, I also don't see the SEC agreeing to eight teams. We all assume that the next step would be eight teams, and maybe it still will be. But I don't think that, I guess I just didn't take into account the idea that Greg Sankey, who has been the last, you know, ardent supporter of four, would be open to something as radical as 12, but apparently he is, and others are as well. And I also think we made this point, you know, we had a source say this in our story in late April. You know the history of these things. Like, once you go to 8, people want you to expand it to 12. Once you go to 12, people, they kind of feel like, we don't want to be going through this again in another 4 years. Like, if we're going to make this change, let's go big, and hopefully have something we can stick with for a long time.
We've come a long way from finding out on a Monday morning who the national champion, split national champion, Stuart. Now we may have a 12-team playoff, and we shall see what happens there. Stuart Mandel with us from ESPN. You're on ESPN 680, 105.7. He's from The Athletic, editor-in-chief there for all the college football stuff. Great stuff, the Audible podcast. Find that quickly before we get you out of here. UK and U of L both have an over-under that's at about 7. Do you have any early opinions on the Cards and the Cats, as both teams, you know, had whatever seasons? Kentucky a better season last year, but now these two programs, they got to get things going quickly.
I'm a little more optimistic about UK. You know, Kyle Tucker from The Athletic wrote his state of the program and made the observation that if they'd played their usual non-conference games last year, they probably would have been a 7-5 or 8-4 team. So I see them getting back to that this season. I'm as stumped as you guys were at why Louisville fell like they did in Scott Satterfield's second season. I still think he's a really good coach, so nothing would surprise me. But on paper, I don't see a huge improvement necessarily as easily as I do with UK.
Yeah, no, I think that'd probably be the case. Last one, I just totally blanked on this. The Cincinnati's of the world. Louisville used to be in this situation in the AAC, these smaller conferences. What do you, I mean, again, expansion would have to, you would imagine that would make them have a seat at the table. What do you make of that argument? And that would be a historic thing if you know, the Group of Five had a seat at the table, something the Louisville fans wanted for so many decades.
Yeah, I don't think it's a given. You know, you're asking the Power Five to voluntarily give some access to somebody else. But it's hard for me to imagine, you know, right now they can say with a straight face, it's the four, anybody can get in. Just finish in the top four, no matter what conference you're in, you'll get in. We know in practice that has not how it's worked out. Once you start giving certain conferences an automatic bid and not others, I mean, you're just subjecting yourself to lawsuits and antitrust scrutiny and all the things that, frankly, led to the end of the BCS. So I got to think that ultimately that it will land with an automatic bid.
Yeah, I would imagine that's going to be the case. Stuart, take care, and we'll talk with you down the road, and keep the good work there at The Athletic. Always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. Well, Stuart Mandel on a Tuesday.
Interesting stuff there.
I keep thinking today's a Wednesday for some reason.
It does feel like a Wednesday. I don't know why it does. But it does feel like a Wednesday. But alas, it is a Tuesday.
Alas, it is.
Alas. Now, we'll be in the studio
tomorrow. Your
girl's
on TV.
Oh, yeah, I know. She's looking good.
More Rutledge.
Looks like a black evening dress on. Figures is the...
Does your wife wear a robe?
Yeah, she does.
She does?
Mm-hmm. Yep, she got a robe. I got her a newer robe a couple of years ago for Valentine's Day.
Well, there you go.
A pink robe.
I don't know why. I just that's what made me think of that.
Yeah, she wears a robe.
Jack, does your mother wear a robe?
Occasionally, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have a robe. I've always wanted a robe. I don't know. There's something like dignified about a robe for some reason. I don't know.
Never have felt a need to wear a robe.
I've never had one.
I think my mom got me one once when I was like 8, and I was like, why the hell would I ever wear this?
I like the idea of a robe. I don't know.
Well, not that much. You won't just go get one.
Well,
it's so easy to get a robe. It's so easy to get a robe.
I want to be gifted a robe. You know,
is that what you want?
Yeah. Open up my Christmas present and one of them be a robe.
Well, I'll buy you a robe then.
Okay.
How does that sound?
That sounds great. I'd wear it.
437-9680. Before we take a break, two other things that I want to get to. Well, three things. Dennis Dodd now has a piece about the, you know, expansion is going to be upon us.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I can't decide what Stuart Mandel was saying there, which side I want it to be. And here's what I mean. If they go 12 teams or even 8 teams,
yeah.
But if they go 8 or 12, whatever they do in expanding this, and they don't have automatic qualifiers, I mean, that's going to be so funny. And the SEC would have won.
They would have won.
The SEC and Greg Sankey would have thrown it on the table and literally moved everyone in the world out of college football.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, you might as well – I mean, they're playing a different sport. Because you would have – I'm sorry. I am convinced you would have – you would have a 9-3. You would have that first year. You would have multiple 9-3 SEC teams.
Oh, absolutely.
That would make it. At least one would. The only way they wouldn't put them all in there is if they thought, well, we need to move things around. We need to move things around. The belly aching if they don't go to the automatic qualifiers.
Oh, it's going to be epic.
Well, the thing that's crazy about it is not going to the automatic qualifiers is opposite of every other sport. Like, even the NFL does that.
Yeah, division champions.
Even the crappy, now you could argue about it, but even the crappy NFC East sent somebody last year to the playoffs, and it was nearly my Giants at 6-10.
It was almost. It was almost the Giants. Right?
If it weren't for those dirty Eagles. So I don't know which one I'm rooting for there. Because,
man.
I mean, if the SEC wins again, I mean, you're getting Alabama. You're getting Georgia,
pretty much, and
I feel like you're getting like A&M in every year.
It's going to be two from the West and one from the East.
Well,
almost every year. I agree with that.
I kind of feel like you get four in. I kind of feel like they would get four in.
If not for the automatic qualifier, you're right. They have like a 9-3 Florida team.
So I'll have to read Dennis Dodd's thing. As obviously all the think pieces are coming out now.
Right.
As this is going on, and I do think one thing I am very interested in, and SEC domination, that ain't changing.
No.
But one thing I'm interested in is the old guard I did not think was good for college football. Specifically, like, the Jim Delaney's.
Sure.
Okay?
Of the world, yeah.
I don't think that traditionalist attitude was good at all for college football.
I'm with you. I don't know why they, and you know, Stuart Mandel
talked
about.
They were so damn stubborn.
Right. He talked about the new Pac-12 commissioner coming in right away saying, hey, we want this expansion. It's like, what was the old Pac-12 commissioner doing? Like, why was he actively holding his conference back? I don't understand this thought process of we had to keep it the same way. Well, it's hurting you. It's not helping you. It's hurting you. You're not part of the club. You're not playing the same sport that Alabama and Clemson. Why are you actively, well, it's just the way it's been. It's a very exclusive club, and if we're not in it, we're not in it. It's like, no, that's stupid.
And then the thought also of just having, when they originally expanded, only doing it to four. Where you knew there were five major conferences and only four spots for the playoff.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a good point.
That's the old guard holding it back.
Sense.
Yes.
Yeah, it absolutely did.
Now, I actually agree with that. Bobby V's always yelled and screamed about that, and I agree. The fact that you have five conferences and you're automatically eliminating a champion.
One major conference is just idiotic.
It's crushed the Pac-12.
It's crushed
them. That conference is worthless. I mean, if you guys remember, was it 2 years ago that Bo Nix was a freshman at Auburn and they played in Atlanta and they won like the last second of the game, the last 10 seconds or the last minute of the game, they beat Oregon. And the conversation around that game, the main conversation around that game was that the Pac-12's pretty much done.
It was week one,
and the conversation wasn't Auburn, it wasn't Bo Nix, it was none of that.
Nope.
The conversation was, well, if Oregon loses this game, they might be done in September. That was the conversation.
Now, is it Washington the only team that's ever been in the playoff from the Pac-12?
Oregon. They were
the
one seed in the very first playoff.
Yeah,
they had Mariota.
Yep, you're exactly right. So there's only been two teams.
Texas says Strebel would look like Tony Soprano walking to his mailbox with his robe wide open. I like that.
I do, too. I don't wear boxers, though, like Tony did.
Texas says, I'm calling my shot. Haley Van Lith will transfer from Louisville after no more than one more season.
That's a very random text.
It had to be an Ennis
text. It had to be 93.9. I mean, what are they talking about over there? Haley Van Lith.
Texas says, would you let caller Emily babysit your children?
No, I wouldn't, because A, I don't know her, and B, I would. I don't
know how happy
if
he
is. I know.
Listen to the giggle when you vetoed.
Yeah,
you vetoed, yeah. And in the background, you just heard that tender, tender laugh. It makes him happy.
It does, but I wouldn't, because I don't know her, and I don't want to put her in charge of my children if I don't know who she is.
Texas says, Strebel's takes are butt today.
What are you talking about? I've had fine takes. I haven't had anything. I haven't had, like, a bad take. I don't know. What do you want me to do?
I don't know.
I don't know what they want me to do.
I don't know what they want you to do. I just know it's going to get you riled up, though.
I don't get it.
What an old saying.
It's
their butt today.
I mean, that's what, like.
That's what Kellen would
say. When I was in high school, that's what people would say. You look like butt this morning. I mean, that's a high school thing back in 1997. Wait, update your vernacular.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Texas says, caller Emily is sure to get matching robes for her and Strebs.
No. I'd like a nice flannel robe. Yeah. Like a flannel robe would be very nice, yes.
Well, why don't you just get one?
I need to.
Well, it's Father's Day in like 2 weeks,
isn't
it? It
is, yes. I don't even know. Like, I've not told my wife anything.
Well, she should know.
She should know, I guess. It's her job, not mine. Like, I should have to drop hints.
What do you want for Father's Day?
I don't know. I don't really
what do you want?
Anything.
What's like a gift limit? Like a normal gift limit for Father's Day? Like, I legit don't know.
I usually get something nice. I mean, it's not, like, too expensive.
Well, yeah, not, like, hundreds of dollars. No. Yeah, it's not ridiculous, right?
I don't even remember what I got last year. I can't tell you. Usually, like, I've gotten some, like, nice bottles of bourbon in the past.
Well, sure, that's the way to do it.
I like that.
Chug all those in the afternoon, and the Woodford's gone.
You get the
Woodford at 2 o'clock, and it's gone by 7:30.
Well, 1 year she got me a bottle of Basil Hayden's, and she was like, here you go. I was like, oh, this is good. It's like, this will last me a while. It was gone, like, 3 days.
Yeah, I was going to say it's gone in.
It's gone, like, 3 days. She's like, I thought you were
going to
save
that. My wife does have... obviously not for Father's Day, but she does that like, this is for us. And I'm like, you know I'm crushing this bourbon.
Yeah,
don't drink any.
Right.
You don't drink any. I'm not holding out.
For you.
Yeah.
Well, I should save the rest of this for my wife.
You conform to me.
Exactly. That's how I think.
Texas says, what kind of underwear does Strebel prefer? It's a great question.
I like the boxer briefs. That's what I like.
Here we go.
Well done. Yes.
Yeah, I like the box.
Texas says the listeners must be deep today.
They must be deep. Yeah.
Texas says Fresh Kimball has joined the TBT team.
Has he really?
I don't care about the TBT team other than Shane Bahannon.
Other than Shane.
You don't care about Chris Jones?
No, I don't care about Chris Jones. No.
And I'm seeing yes, he
actually,
is on Fresh Kimball.
Actually, if I were a Louisville fan, I wouldn't want nothing to do with Chris Jones.
Not a thing.
I would want him as far away and not support anything that he's a part of. If you're really wanting to know.
Jack just confirmed that is true.
Is that true? I don't know. I haven't been on Twitter. I need to get on Twitter.
Popped on Twitter, and that was the first thing I saw.
Louisville fans crushed him. They crushed him. He didn't play.
No, Fresh Kimball, he played.
Not a lot. Not as much as they thought.
He started, but then wanted David Johnson to play over him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he wasn't very good.
I'm trying to remember. Did Louisville
fans
his
only game
like...
worth a damn was the Kentucky game, which they ended up losing anyways.
Yeah, he was a bit of a bust, and they were angry about it. Because I remember Steve Rummage,
when he
committed, he was there like, oh, this guy coming from St. Joseph's, Joseph's going to be blah, blah, blah. And all Louisville fans got behind it. He ended up not being – I mean, David Johnson overtook his spot.
So you like this. It lists his accomplishments, like his credentials in the announcement. It goes, Cardinal career, 2019-20. Pro career, 2020-present. Then it goes, A-10, all-rookie team. All-ACC, academic team. 1,000-point collegiate scorer. And top 10 grad transfer prior to U of L.
There you go.
Congrats, Fresh.
No, that's a lot congrats. Better than I thought. Yeah, there you go.
Congrats.
He's an academic All-American.
Good luck winning the million.
There you go.
There you go.
Let's take a break. On the other end is something percolating. We'll explain on this Tuesday. All right, you guys know who I use placing any bets, any wagers. Oh, it's DraftKings. They're my favorite, and they're also America's top-rated sports book app. So get in on all of the action and do so right now with DraftKings. They're putting you courtside for these NBA games with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right. Here's the deal. Pick any basketball team that's still in contention. You bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. It's that easy. If basketball's not your thing, they have all the baseball, all of NC's soccer, hockey, and much more. It's so easy, reliable, and secure. So go download right now that top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use our promo code WHBE when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you'll claim that $100 in free credits. That's promo code WHBE. It's all for a limited time. It's only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Indiana only, new customers only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, Mitch, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
We got some hotties next door, though, I'll tell you that.
Oh, do you? What's the situation look like?
God.
Oh, yeah, what's the setup?
And James Strebel.
You got one picked out yet, or are you going to play the field?
No, I haven't really seen all the prospects yet, so I need to go back and rank them when I go back. there are a couple five-stars, though, and then also a couple three-stars, so we'll see.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Texas says, I bet Strebel mixes his good bourbon.
I don't mix. No, I don't mix any bourbon.
Texas says, Shane's practice for TBT consists of pick and rolling.
That's good. That's really good.
You know what that means, Jack, when I read that? Do you have any idea of the joke there? Any idea?
Yes, I am aware.
I'm just making sure you're aware. Grossman's hanging out with us. I'm Andy Sweeney. Strebel's here. We're hanging out with you halfway through. Appreciate Stuart Mandel joining us. We'll have that up shortly at the Podcast Center. A reminder, miss anything from any show, find it at the Podcast Center at ESPNLouisville.com, the ESPN Louisville app. Apple, I would say iTunes. I don't think it's called iTunes anymore, or wherever you get your podcast. 437-9680. I want to get into, I still have several things. We have a couple sound bites I want to get into. Mm-hmm. I want to get to this Issel sound.
Yes, he said that
here
during
in a second.
The break. Yeah.
I want to get to this Issel sound because both of you are amused by Issel.
We are.
So I want to, the luminary, the great, if you will.
Yeah.
So I want to get into all of that. Something I find interesting about Louisville football.
Yes.
Okay. And we've talked off air about this.
Yes.
One of the, just behind the scenes, you know, there's lots of times I'm not a journalist.
Right.
And I don't think I'm a journalist. I never have thought that. Okay. It doesn't mean that I couldn't do, something that would be journalistic.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Even though I really haven't, I'm not ruling that out in my entire life or career.
It's available to you.
Okay.
Yes.
But there are some times where you feel like you know something. And I mean, around here, we're not throwing things against the wall. Everything, I mean, I would say the majority of things we do is reacting in some sort of way. We
sure.
do predictions and whatever else.
But not a lot of news breaking.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Dino Gaudio was a very difficult hour of radio to do because we knew at some point that day that Dino Gaudio, that the news would break where everyone would know that he had been federally charged with extortion. And it went from a story that we are waiting on to a story that when it hits the public, if you will, it's like on steroids.
I mean,
and there's a small amount of people, and boom, just like that, everybody knows. And so we did 55 minutes of radio knowing that it was going to happen. This next thing, I don't know, but Mitch caught this.
Mitch did first.
Mitch O'Hanigan, but I don't know why, when we've had a week and a half of shows where we've had fun, but we haven't accomplished anything.
We really had to dig around for stuff to talk about.
Well, not even that. It's not like we've had a big story that we needed to dedicate either 3 hours or the majority of time to.
Right.
And I say that because Mitch, if you'd have mentioned this to me, Mitch, I would have brought it up, okay? And that is Luke McCaffrey, who transferred from Nebraska to Louisville, mm-hmm. you know, several months ago, and that he was going to be another guy added to that quarterback room. And I think locally here, Scott Satterfield and the quarterback situation, and I think on top of it, Kentucky and the ongoing mess at quarterback and how all the gas bags were wrong about Bo Allen and Will Levis and, like, those conversations, to me, those are the only conversations that I care about.
Right.
I mean, if you told me, hey, if you could ask Scott Satterfield about one thing, it would be the recruitment, it would be about the development, it would be why is your quarterback room substandard, right. and it would be about Malik. On top of that, how does he cut down on turnovers and, you know, new weapons on offense and everything else? That would be 99% of what I want to hear. And for Mark Stoops, I don't know if he knows what's going on in the offensive side of the room, but I feel the same,
right.
okay? I mean, it's coming out of Kentucky football that Will Levis is the guy. There's not one person who doesn't think that Will Levis is number one, Joey Gatewood's number two, and Bo Allen is a deep number three.
Distant,
yes, that's an odd thing. You understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, yes.
Not deep. Distance, odd word. Yeah. It's an odd word to use.
So did Mark Stoops just miss the evaluation on the quarterbacks and then Liam Cohen had to say yes?
Okay, yes.
Exactly.
What do you think?
Liam Cohen
the last 5 years under Eddie Grant and Mark Stoops and Darren Hinshaw, they were average out to be 113 in the country in total offense.
So yes, he did misevaluate.
That is a safe, yes, and we're all fat. It's a very safe statement to say, Jack, okay? And you like chicken wings and pizza. Streeble loves Busch Light. Yeah. Like, yes, these are all very safe things to say. So here's the point. Luke McCaffrey has taken all of the Louisville-affiliated stuff off of his Twitter.
Yeah.
There you go.
And that's going to...
I don't know if it's going to be a story or not. Because I don't know what's going on behind the scenes there, but you have murmurings, and then you have all the stuff that's been taken off his Twitter, and that's what today has been.
It leads you to think that there may be a bit of an issue between Luke McCaffrey and Louisville, whether or not he feels like, possibly, there's playing time there. I mean, Malik Cunningham was... He was all right last season. He was good enough to win games for Louisville. There were some games where he played extremely well, but for the most part, he was a mixed bag. And a transfer like Luke McCaffrey, and in the case of Kentucky, Will Levis looked at that quarterback room, looked at that quarterback position, said, I could come in and maybe get some time there, get some starts there. And Will Levis looks like he made the correct decision in that. It's like Luke McCaffrey may be questioning some things right now, what his position in that quarterback room is.
I have no idea what's going on, but he did take away his stuff. And his picture right now, his avatar picture, is him at Nebraska, who he left.
Yeah, he left. He left Nebraska.
He left
yes.
Nebraska.
Yeah, it was gone. And
I mean, here's what it would be. It would be Strieble. I mean... You know, you're married still, okay?
Yes, yeah.
We know about your marriage, and you're very happy, and everyone's very happy. It would be like you throwing up on Facebook a picture of you and an ex-girlfriend.
Right. Just out of nowhere.
I mean, there's no difference for him to go back and change it to where he was at Nebraska running for 4 yards a carry or whatever it was. Because sure as hell
one touchdown,
wasn't,
six interceptions.
Wasn't throwing it. So what I don't know, though, is for someone, it's one of two things. Malik is very difficult for me to read, and here's why. He's not bad enough to where you're just benching the guy and moving on from him.
Absolutely not. I agree with that. Yeah, he's not.
But he's also not good enough to where you feel like you can only have him and the next guy cannot be someone that threatens him.
Right.
And I think that's a difficult spot to be. And so for any quarterback who would come in, I don't know that when they come in, I don't know what the premise is. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like with Will Levis, he comes in and you know there is a quarterback battle, and you know if you're Will Levis that you're a Liam Cohen guy.
That
you,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
At least that's the thought process to all of this.
Yeah.
If I'm viewing Louisville from the standpoint of the quarterback position, you have a 2-year starter here, for the most part, a 2-year starter.
Right.
1.5, whatever it may be. You have a guy that's been in the system, that's been around, that it wouldn't be normally, as he's an upperclassman, that you're looking to make that move.
Sure.
Or are you? I don't know. What I'm saying is I don't know. And so I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know if he thought he was going to win the job. I don't know if he thought there was going to be a competition. I don't know if he just decided to change all of his Twitter stuff, get rid of all the Louisville stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just him throwing a fit. I don't know if it's nothing. I bring it up. Mitch saw it, I guess, a week ago. I wish he would have said something.
Right.
Because I think now if he were to leave, he would be viewed as the clear-cut backup, and it would add to the Satterfield quarterback conversation,
100%.
Which thus far for him hasn't been a good one.
No,
it
not
has
at all.
Not been a good one for him not to be able to find a number of guys that want to play quarterback for him. It worries you going into year three. It's the position that matters the most. It's the position that if you score big and you're Louisville, you can equalize everything on your schedule because you have someone special. And listen, Kentucky's done it the other way. Mark Stoops has said, I'm going to play defense and run the ball and have this big offensive line, and that's the way I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it without a quarterback. I'm going to equalize it by being great at these other positions. And it's worked for about 7 wins. It's worked. It hasn't worked. It's been embarrassing
at times. Yeah.
And so I just, you know, last year, Malik being healthy that entire year, that to me is a worry. And when you see, I mean, quite frankly, a guy that had Louisville all over his stuff, not have Louisville all over his stuff, and that quarterback room isn't one that's super strong. Now, let me give you the other side of this. Maybe he's no good.
That's what I'm thinking. That's not what I'm thinking. That's what I know. I haven't watched him play. He's not any good. To me, I get everything you're saying, Andy, but the guy's just not any good, and he wasn't going to be able to push Malik. That's not because Malik's, you know, incredible. I mean, he's fine, but he's just that. He's fine. But Luke McCaffrey isn't good enough to come in and push him for a job this year. To where if he was going to be a quarterback at all, it would be the Lynn Bowden offense. That's what it was when he was at Nebraska. He's not really capable of throwing a football. So, I think you need a quarterback that can throw a football. So, I think maybe he came to Louisville thinking, okay, I can start. Then he realized, oh, bleep, I can't just roll in and get the starting job. And maybe now he's out. Or maybe the staff just saw the name McCaffrey and thought, okay, this guy's automatically going to be great. Then they realized, oh, he can't throw a ball more than 5 yards.
I mean, he's stunk.
That's an issue. Yes. Oh, he was terrible.
Yeah, he was not very good.
He wasn't good at Nebraska,
and he didn't develop at all from 2019 to 2020. So I don't know how much room there is to improve where you had, you know, even with COVID and off season to try to get better. You didn't get better.
Look at you.
He was not good.
He was done. He was thundering through. He had waited long enough.
Get out of the way, Strebel.
The second I took a breath, he was ready to go.
I was ready on that
one. He's fired away, man. Yeah. I love it. I actually love it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a big deal. Obviously, Louisville still has quarterback room issues, but Luke McCaffrey was never fixing it. And even if he leaves, that's whatever.
Well, that's another miss.
Luke McCaffrey, it doesn't matter.
It is a big deal, and it does matter because that's another miss on Satterfield. That's another miss.
Well, here's what it is. It's the Dino Gaudio stuff.
How so?
It's not a big deal, but it adds to a narrative. It adds to a narrative that people will bring up and use against him.
That's exactly right.
That's what it is.
That's why I said it mattered because
they were excited about him.
They were excited about him.
Mitch was excited about him.
I know.
Louisville fans, listen.
Well, Mitch was wrong to be excited about him.
Grossman, you're not wrong. I saw enough of the kid in Nebraska. Bad team, understandable.
Sure.
I saw enough to say, this kid's not a quarterback. He's not a high-level quarterback. And so him transferring somewhere and picking UofL, if he thought he was going to be the starting quarterback, I don't know what's going on in his mind unless he was told, hey, there is going to be a competition.
There's playing time available
but
if you're good
enough. There's not.
Right.
There never has been. I mean, we haven't had a conversation about Louisville's quarterback. It's Malik, and I think we should have a better conversation about how much better he needs to be. But that's been the conversation.
Right.
There hasn't been another conversation. We can talk about all of my quarterback stuff. The majority of it has been, hey, you need to bring in more recruits and they need to be higher ranked.
Right.
You need to score big on some of these guys that can turn into something to be Wake Forest. You need to start evening things
Boston
out.
Boston College.
Yeah, if you're not going to be big in the trenches, okay,
right.
Or you're going to, you're going to recruit at a lesser clip, fine, but you got to get a quarterback that's going to even everything out. So I don't know the read on this. I don't. What I do know is Louisville fans were excited to get him.
They absolutely were. They were excited about it, and I still believe that there's a portion of Louisville fans that would welcome a healthy quarterback competition through fall practice. I think that they are fine with Malik, but he took a lot of criticism. I think he took the bulk of the hits as far as, you know, shouldering the blame for some of those losses last season. Again, I listened to every Louisville football postgame show.
Well, I'm sure you do.
I did.
Of course you did.
I know you
absolutely
do.
Absolutely do. And Malik Cunningham got a lot of flack. And then when Satterfield tried to throw Conley back out there,
he was terrible.
He was way worse than Cunningham was. I think Louisville fans wanted Luke McCaffrey to come in and be a viable option and to push Malik, and it's just not there. And it's just now it's not solidified. It's not certain that it's just Malik Cunningham and Evan Conley. But that sure is what it's looking like right now with someone with Malik's injury history. That you can't be able to be
comfortable. But he wasn't injured last year, though.
He wasn't, but there were some scary moments. I'm with you.
There were
some moments where you're like, get hit, quit running the damn play, where you run Malik Cunningham to the edge and have him get smashed out of bounds. Like, quit running that play late in the game against Western Kentucky. That doesn't matter that you ran that play. I mean, it feels like you're right. He wasn't hurt last year, but he just has that history, and you feel it's like with Malik Williams. You feel it. You feel like in the back of your mind, he's not going to be healthy at some point during the season.
What's the kid's name? I'm trying to remember to look
him
up. The McCaffrey. Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah, Luke
Sorry.
McCaffrey.
For some reason, I was thinking Josh McCaffrey.
And there was something there with Jack when they'd
be
like,
Reggie?
The genetics of the McCaffrey family. You had Ed and Christian and Luke.
Good-looking kid.
He's a good-looking kid. They're all good-looking.
One touchdown, six interceptions.
Yep, that's Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Texas says Grossman's right. He's hot garbage. Yeah, and here's what I would love. Have him commit to Louisville and the obvious take being he's hot garbage and see how fans react then.
Right. I mean, when he committed, it was like, we got a McCaffrey?
Yeah.
We got Christian McCaffrey's brother? Hell yeah, let's go!
It was
annoying.
I almost called you Mitch. Grossman, would you do this? Would you look in the Dropbox and see if we have any Luke McCaffrey sound at all from anybody? If
yes.
We have any folder that has Luke McCaffrey sound? We may not. I have no idea.
I remember it made a splash the day he committed. And then I think people looked at the stats and were kind of like, ooh.
Well, he doesn't have any.
Maybe not. I mean, maybe this isn't as big of a deal as we made it out to
be. It's why it's sad that Will Levis is
is being made. No,
it's very similar.
There's a segment of Kentucky fans that are like, well, if he couldn't win the job really at Penn State, what makes you just think that he's going to be great at Kentucky?
Texas says, way to go, Grossman. Somebody to finally challenge Sweeney because Jamie ain't going to do it.
Challenge him on what?
Texas says, case in point for bleep cheek takes. Texas says,
the only thing in Dropbox I can find is one that says Treble loves Luke McCaffrey.
Well, let's hear that.
We're going to be talking about him like we talked about Dave Ragone and
Dave
Brian
Ragone.
Brom
yep.
and Teddy Bridgewater, Lamar Jackson, maybe not Puma Pass, but, you know, some of the upper echelon quarterbacks. That's what Luke McCaffrey's going to be. I pivot. I love the kid. I think I was being snarky there.
Of course you were.
Yeah.
Texas says McCaffrey found out he could go start at UK.
Again. You have no realization of your quarterback.
Stoops doesn't like to throw the ball, so
again,
maybe that'll work.
Get out of the way, Grossman.
They just think they have this God-blessed quarterback room. We have three quarterbacks to choose from. You have one and a half.
What's the kid from Georgia State? What's his name? Or is it Georgia Southern?
Georgia Southern.
That's your backup quarterback.
That will back up to the backup.
backup to the assistant
to assistant to the backup assistant quarterback on the team. Yes.
Texas says, is it a good sign that a freshman QB Allen isn't UK's best? Well, he's not a quarterback, is he? I mean, he's not
a freshman.
Bo Allen.
He's a red shirt.
He's a red shirt
freshman. Yes.
Texas says, my God, Crean, take a breath. Texas says, I get off work and I tune in and I have to listen to Crean Jesus. Texas says, who is this kid? His radio voice is horrible.
Oh, stop it.
Texas says, is Blankenbaker going to ask Satterfield about Luke McCaffrey?
That's tomorrow, right?
It's tomorrow.
That's Satterfield. Yeah, well, that's a good. You know what? Blank, do some journalism and ask about the quarterbacks. Can you do some journalism and ask about the quarterbacks? Why can't you get a quarterback, Scott Satterfield?
I kind of want to know what's going on. Texter says Cardinal Authority reported on the coaches being impressed by McCaffrey this weekend. Well, that would be the kiss of death.
Yeah,
if Cardinal Authority reported, that would be the kiss of death.
Put out that propaganda. Yeah, you're great. They love you, Luca. Read this. They actually do. Inside
you're
sources.
Better than your brother.
Yeah.
And your dad.
Yeah.
You're the best I've ever seen. Pay me $9 a month. Texas says, give me McCaffrey and a tight punter for last place in the ACC.
That's good.
Texas says, Crean barges in on the mic like the ultimate warrior used to run to the ring.
Oh, man. Yes, he did. That heavy metal music would pop up and Warrior just run out there. Bow!
You have no idea who the ultimate warrior
is. No, no clue.
Crean, yeah,
oh,
I do.
Oh, man.
Do you know who Macho Man is?
No.
Oh.
That
hurts you, doesn't it?
Jack, you don't know Macho Man?
You just kicked me in my groin.
How do you not know Macho Man?
You don't know the Macho Man?
Randy Savage.
Do you know DDP? Do you know Stone Cold?
Yes.
Okay.
Diamond Dallas Page.
No.
You know DDP? Do you know The Undertaker?
Yes.
Oh, do you know Roddy Piper?
No.
There's no chance.
Do you know the British Bulldog?
No.
Brutus the Barber Beef.
Do you know Earthquake and Typhoon?
No.
Do you know Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Do you know Farouk?
No.
Wasn't that his name?
Yeah, it was Farouk. Yeah. Nation of Domination, baby. Damn right.
Oh, man. Texter says Blank ain't got the stones to ask a Tim Sullivan question.
Maybe we should get Tim Sullivan. What if they got Tim Sullivan on the other line? And he just sat and was listening. Tim Sullivan has a question for you, Coach Satterfield.
And just chimed in.
Bam!
And just chimed in on Dieter's.
He'd be left on mute, though.
I think it'd be 8-0. You're right. It would just be dead air as Tim Sullivan was still trying to figure out the mute function.
Yeah.
God bless him.
Absolutely.
8:05 tomorrow, Double D, and then we'll have your boy on. Scott Satterfield. Let's take a break. 5 o'clock hour. It's coming up next.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.